you are an Asheville native.
I am. Born and raised, went to Owen High School, graduated in 1990, and then headed off to Guilford College.
How did you end up in L.A.?
You know, my best friend in college was going to L.A. to write screenplays, and I wasn't interested in writing at the time, but I thought it'd be an adventure. I was playing in a band, so I thought, well, go to L.A. to play music, and, you know, we just headed out together, and next thing you know, I was there.
It's one thing to be a musician trying to make his way in Southern California. It's quite another thing to start up a career as a screenwriter. Is it fair to say that you're late to screenwriting?
I would say so. You know, I started writing early with my friend, in fact, and we wrote a script around 97, 98, and it actually sold, and the film was made, and it was called Dish Dogs, and it was, honestly, it's kind of unwatchable in a lot of ways, but it did sell, and it kind of got me interested in the writing process, so.
What do you mean it's unwatchable? It's your first effort that someone took. It's the first effort that someone took.
Keep in mind, when you sell a script, you're done with it. And then the director rewrites it, the producer rewrites it, the craft services guy rewrites it, and then you know somebody else rewrites it, and then they put it on the screen. And it's just, and to be fair, the script wasn't great to start with, and it really got worse as it went on.
But it led to something else.
But it did lead to something else, and it led to another script sale, a bunch of options. I produced another low-budget film before doing this, so it's fair to say that everything before, you know, led up to this.
Is it fair to say, then, that you're new to the business of making movies?
It certainly is a full-time job, yes. I produced and wrote one film in 2007, a low-budget film called Man Overboard, and that was, again, a stepping stone to this. This is certainly the first bigger feature I've done and the first one I have directed.
This film is called It's Not You, It's Me. And for me, when I hear that, I think of Seinfeld.
Yes, I do get that reference a lot, and it's a commonly used term, but you know, titling is so important in films, and the title has to tell you exactly what the film is about, and clearly it's a relationship film, and that's what it says. So that was kind of the thought behind that.
And when I say that to you, it's not you, it's me. What do you think of?
Well, I think of the breakups I've had over the years, and when I've said, you know, listen, it's not you really, it's where I am in my life, or I'm just not ready, or, you know, whatever it is. You always tend to bring it back to yourself because you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, whatever it might be. And most of the time, I think it is me.
This has been described as a brutal relationship comedy.
Yeah, you know, I think the brutal part is just that it's very on the nose and very honest, and I don't pull any punches, and I really go into sort of what we're thinking as guys, you know, during relationships and during breakups. And, you know, it's just pretty brutally honest. I think it's probably where the brutal part comes from.
How difficult is it to break into the film business or the film industry?
I mean, think about trying to light a match underwater. I mean, it's an extraordinarily difficult business to break into. But that said, I think the people I've known who have gotten it done, who have gotten films done, it's just, you know, you pick a goal and you just don't stop and you just won't let it go. And that's really, I think, what it takes is just having a real passion for it and, you know, going after it.
But in this case, you're the writer, director, producer of this film.
Yep.
A lot of responsibilities.
It was.
What prepares you to be the writer, director, producer?
Okay. Well, the writing part, certainly I'd been writing over the years. So this is actually my 18th full-length feature script. So that part I kind of had to an extent. And then the producing part, I had produced a film before, so I had an idea. I actually didn't raise the money for that one, but I had, you know, been real involved in the producing. The directing is completely new to me. And, you know, I read a bunch of books. I have a bunch of friends who are directors, so I would take them out to lunch, talk to them about it. I had a friend who's a good storyboard artist. He was willing to help me out with storyboarding the film. So really, I relied on the help of a lot of good friends and a lot of books.
Growing up, did you love going to the theater and watching movies?
You know, it's funny. I was never a big film buff. I mean, I certainly enjoyed it, I think, as much as anybody did at that age. But I was never a real true film lover. And I would honestly say it's probably in the last 7 to 10 years that I really have immersed myself in film. Like, I went to there's the AFI Top 100 Films of All Time list. And, you know, I got that and started watching all those films. And just, you know, I just, now it's really all I want to do and talk about.
Compare the stress or the difficulty of the creative process to the actual casting, filming, and marketing of a movie.
it's just two very different things. I mean, I think the creative side of it is you're doing, you know, you write the script and you're writing and rewriting, and then you're, you know, you're casting and you're finding the right people for the roles. And that's all very creative and a lot of fun. But in and around that, if you're producing as well, you're figuring out how you're going to pay for it all. You're crewing up. You're, you know, getting people that you trust to do the things that need to be done. It's a full-time job and then some.
Beyond finding the money to make a movie, what's the most difficult part of being an independent filmmaker?
You know, they always say that the most difficult part of independent film is raising the money. And while that is extraordinarily difficult, it's far more difficult to make the money back in the current, you know, world of independent film and what's out there.
Making the money back. Why is it so difficult to make the money back? Is it simply because of the difficulty of attracting eyes and ears to a film?
You know, I think one of the beauty of the internet is this wonderful marketing tool. The downside is that everybody else has it. And, you know, if you go onto iTunes, I've read varying numbers, but between 7,500 and 15,000 films on iTunes. So let's just say that 10,000 films. And so your average user goes to iTunes and wants to see an independent film, and there's 3,000 to choose from. How do you set your film apart? How do you let people know that, hey, this is a great film to watch? And that's really the hardest part now is marketing your film.
So sell me on this film.
Sure. You know, I think it's great. It's a romantic comedy for people who don't like romantic comedies. It's a brutally honest look at relationships, at breakups. And what you're really seeing is you're seeing a breakup of two people in their mid-30s, and the voices in both their heads come to life and are played by characters. So again, you get that brutally honest, and I think we all have those voices in our heads when we break up with somebody or in a relationship with somebody, and they're conflicting, and they're crazy, and they make you crazy, and they're crazy-making. And, you know, we really tried to capture that on the screen, and I was extremely fortunate to have a wonderful cast, and I think they all did just an amazing job. And, you know, we've had great feedback from the film and gotten good reviews, so...
For our listeners who can't see this, mm-hmm. the woman that you're in a relationship with right now is sitting in the room.
Yes.
So is this autobiographical?
You know, it is, but keep in mind it was written 4 years ago. So not autobiographical to this particular situation.
Does putting yourself out there like this, is it, you find that humorous or difficult?
It's difficult. You know, it's I think because it is brutally honest, there's a lot of lines and stuff in the film that, it can be hard to watch when other people are watching it with you. I tend to the screenings to go in for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I've seen it 300 times of editing and everything else, and I'll quietly duck out and come back in. It's hard.
One of the great commitment movies, I think, stars John Cusack.
High Fidelity, one of my favorite films.
Did High Fidelity influence you in any way in this film?
Absolutely. You know, I've always kind of said I will know that I've reached my goal when I make a film that I feel is as good as High Fidelity. It's one of my favorite films. It's beautifully acted, directed, wonderfully written. It was a big influence, and just in sort of making a film that I think High Fidelity is a very honest film. I think it's you watch it and it's very funny because we can all relate to it and we've all kind of been there in one way or another. And I really tried to get that with this as well.
Okay, there's another commitment movie with Vince Vaughn where his co-star has broken up with his girlfriend and he just can't get over it. What did you think of Swingers? Is that a commitment movie?
Swingers, you know, it's funny. Swingers is a funny one. I love Swingers. And I think it came out around 96 or 7. And I loved it when it came out, and all my friends loved it. And I watched it about a year ago, and sadly to me, it didn't hold up because I think it was so based in that time in 1996, 1997. And again, not to take anything from the film or the filmmakers, but wonderful film, but I feel like it didn't hold up where I think High Fidelity definitely does.
How important was the casting for your film?
You know, casting is really everything. I mean, there's a Spielberg quote where he says that, you know, 80% of my job is done in casting. And he says, you know, once it's cast, you know, if you cast the right people, they just come and do what they do, and you basically take pictures of it, if you will. And so I think it's you know, there's so many important parts to the filmmaking process. But, you know, I think casting is probably one of the biggest, and it's one of the most challenging, particularly in an ensemble piece like this. But
how did you get Vivica Fox to be in this movie?
Vivica was a big score for us. I got the script done. I hired a casting director, and they sent it out to some people they felt might relate to the script. And Vivica luckily did. And she came back and said she would do it. And we didn't have a ton of money to offer, but, we made it all work. And she was very helpful in that. And, once we got Vivica, it sort of legitimized the project. And we were able to get it read around town and really surround her with some really good TV names. So
you're taking an unusual path in the marketing of this film. Explain what's different about what you're doing.
The typical indie film, this is, I think, one of the biggest challenges of indie filmmaking, is the typical indie film, you get it done, and I think most filmmakers, they think, okay, I'm going to make this independent film, it's going to get into Sundance, it's going to win Sundance, my career is going to launch, and Weinstein's going to buy it for 10 times the budget. That, my friends, is not a marketing plan. That's a lottery ticket. And there's so many independent films made every year. And so, setting your independent film apart is the hardest thing to do. And the problem is the distributors, as an independent filmmaker, if you sign with a distributor, it's an all rights deal. So they get DVD, they get any television, they get theatrical, they get everything. And it's typically a 10-year deal, and they have about a $50,000 marketing fee, which comes out first. It's virtually impossible for that model to work for an independent film to make its money back. So I went down that road, looked at it, and thought, I don't want to do that. And so I've really done a grassroots. I'm doing a theatrical tour. I'm doing about 30 screenings between North Carolina and Florida between now and about December 15th. And I'm going to every screening, doing a Q&A after. And just really, pushing it out there and getting people involved.
You're being a road warrior for this film.
I'm kind of stealing the Rock Band touring model. You go out there, you get it seen, you get people talking about it, you hit the social media. And it's I'm not saying it's the only way to do it, and I don't know if it's the best, but it's the one that suits my skill set best for sure.
You were quoted as saying, I wanted to tell this particular story in this way because I feel like in film there is a very limited view of what romance should be like. Remember that quote?
Yeah, I don't, I'll be honest, but it sounds like something I might have said at some point. I'll say that I think that there are a few films that have done it very well. I'm a huge Woody Allen fan. I think Annie Hall is one of those. And Annie Hall, High Fidelity, Love Actually, I think is another one. I'm a big fan of that film. And I think those are films to me that, really looked at relationships a lot for what they are. I think there's a lot of sort of the traditional romantic comedies that they're a little syrupy, a little sappy, just not my thing. I like sort of the realism of the films, some of the ones I just mentioned.
You're the writer, producer, director. Have you thought about being on the other side of the camera?
I did a small role in this one, and it really was a rookie director mistake. It's not that I did badly, but acting is a real skill, and it takes, like anything else, takes a long time to master. And I think in indie filmmaking particularly, you have to cast every role with the best possible actor you can get. And I know for a fact I could have gotten 20 actors who would have done a better job than I did in that role.
This is an 88-minute film. Are you comfortable telling us how much money it takes to make this film?
Sure. It's funny. I get that question a lot, and there's this sort of thing in Hollywood where don't ever tell anybody your budget, don't it? I disagree with that. Who cares what I spent on it? It's what somebody's going to offer me for it. We've got about $193,000 all in for everything. So, in Hollywood, in the big-budget films, they spend that in, food in a day for their crew. But, in the indie film world, that's fairly typical these days.
I think part of the reason that I asked that question is there are a lot of people out there that dream of being an independent filmmaker, and they may not know exactly how expensive it can be. Because of technology, the costs have gone down.
Considerably.
How has technology affected how you go about making a film?
Honestly, it's made it possible, I think, for a lot of indie filmmakers. I mean, $200,000 today, you can make a pretty, beautiful film, that's as long as you light it well. 20 years ago, that wasn't possible, even at $200,000, because the film stock and film processing was so expensive. Now that digital cameras can be blown up to, screen sizes and stuff like that, it really has opened the doors for a lot of indie filmmakers, and it's a great thing. I mean, it's really, really fantastic.
How long do you intend to stay with this film before you move on to your next project?
I'm doing two things. I'm really trying to, A, make the money back. And the idea behind this tour is, I'm selling tickets, I'm selling DVDs, and if I can make enough money to keep myself on the road, just gas and hotels and stuff like that, and But people talking about it is driving the VOD markets, is driving iTunes, is driving Hulu, is driving Amazon, then that's really how I want it to work, and, you know, get it out there. And my hope is that in 6 months or maybe a year, I will have made that $200,000 back through VOD sales and then be able to move on to the next with the same investors.
So how important is iTunes to this film?
Huge.
To the success of this film?
It is everything. It's really, and I think for most indie filmmakers at this point, and I think one point to make is that iTunes is great because it's a 70-30 split with the filmmaker. So iTunes takes 30, you take 70, and, you know, rental is, I think, $4.99, and if you buy it for $12.99. A lot of people are, the Netflix model is, in my opinion, a lot of ways killing independent film because since it's a membership-based, you know, you pay $10 a month to be on Netflix, but the filmmakers make very little money from that. So I'm choosing not to do the Netflix route.
Is this love story, if we can call it that?
Fair enough.
A universal story.
I think so. I think that the feedback, you know, it's funny. After each screening, I do the Q&A, and I always have people come to me and say, you know, I've been there. That, you know, that was really funny because I, you know, gosh, have I been in that position. And I think that's what gives that universal appeal, sure.
Nathan Ives is the writer, producer, director of It's Not You, It's Me, a new independent film. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.